on, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Yeah! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Romelu Chiesa now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Panterita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in everybody to the Horn in Austin, Texas. As we roll on here with Soccer Matters for the next hour, we're talking your game as 2021 fast approaching for all the Austin FC fans. As always, this show is presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Behind the glass tonight, we had BK last week. Tonight we've got the legendary Sam Pika. Sam, thank you very much for being behind the glass and doing the producing tonight.
No problem, man. Happy to be back. I missed you, Glenn.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. DaspitLawAustin.com is our sponsors. And a big thank you for joining me here tonight. They present this show. They present the sister show in Houston as well. A weekend where we saw some abysmal performances from some of the world's biggest clubs. Bayern Munich slammed 4-1 by Hoffenheim. Manchester City smashed 5-2 by Leicester. They've got help in the central defender position on the way. We'll talk a little bit about that. More soccer than we could ever talk about and ask for. Certainly, it's going to be hard to get everything in here in this hour. And again, 2021 right around the corner. Call-in number is 512-447-3776. We're streaming at hornfm.com. You can hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Now, I'm getting a lot of response there after I put out something today. I was out riding my bike, and I was thinking, wow, who's going to be the fortunate team to get that first, or unfortunate team, to get that first ever Major League Soccer regular season game at McCalla Place against Austin FC? So I put it out there. There's been a lot of tremendous feedback from the soccer fans. So I said, yeah, is it an in-state rival like FC Dallas or the Houston Dynamo? Is it the defending MLS champions from 2021? Who would you, the fan, like to see in that game? Because this is going to be history, and you will likely be there. So think about that, 512-865-6710. Sorry, 512-447-3776. 512-865-6710. That's for DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. But to call in and respond to the question of who you'd like to see as the opponent in that first ever Major League Soccer game, regular season game against Austin FC, it's 512-447-3776, 512-447-ESPN. All right, so a couple of the responses we did get on Twitter, and like I said, a lot of good ones. So let's quickly talk here about some of the responses we got. So let's see. We got FC Dallas for sure. Nothing but love for H-Town, but Dallas, and I must stress, this sucks. That's who did that come from? I'll have to find out. Somebody's name needs to be attached to that. Mateo says, FC Frisco for sure. I'm hopeful that our youth academy will top theirs in due time. And on top of that, we'll have ownership willing to shell out for bigger star signings from the U.S. men's national team in El Tri, too. Mateo, anything else you would like? So Mateo weighing in. Got to love that. Good Kim, M.A.D. City. Says, whichever team draws the most national audience eyeballs on our team, stadium and city, and most importantly, our fans. G.V. Romero says, FC Dallas. Brad K. Sappington slash Maskwear says, the only correct answer is Columbus. Now, think about Columbus. This worked out well for everybody. I mean, at the time, it was a panic for Columbus fans. I think you can understand that. Anthony Precourt got the team in the city he wanted it in, Austin, ultimately. Columbus has got a new stadium. Columbus is playing some great soccer, even though they got beat 3-1 last night by Toronto FC. By the way, that was a great game. That was a great game. Columbus, clearly the better team in the first half. Very impressive. Totally flipped by Toronto FC in the second half. 180-degree turn, and they end up winning. Let's see. Okay. Ryan Riggins says, I mean Cincinnati and 10-0, question mark. So he wants Cincinnati in a beatdown. It may be a better team by 2021. We'll see. It's up to Yapstam and that organization. Jorge gives a shout-out. Well, McCallum may not be ready until April 2021, so preseason games will all be on the road. See you at Toyota Field. Well, there's a San Antonio fan. Chris says, wait, I changed my answer to San Jose. Let's win the home opener 7-0. We had a mention for the Chicago Fire in there. Ryan says, how would you feel about Chicago? More than a big name, they're an older club with history. I'm thinking a lot of fans really don't care. Obviously, a lot of these fans do, which I think is pretty cool. We had Inter Miami in there as well. You can call the show, 512-447-3776, if you have a thought on who you'd like to be the first opponent. That is going to be someday. I mean, that is going to be someday. Facebook, Soccer Matters. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. All right, let's get to the Premier League. Manchester City 5-2 go down to Leicester. Pep Guardiola, quote, they didn't want to play. They defended so deep and just wanted to counterattack. That was what Guardiola said about Leicester. His team gives up 5 goals in this game, his 686th as a manager. Leicester had 3 penalties. City looked very vulnerable on the counterattack. Ruben Diaz now is a target. Apparently they've agreed with him, the Benfica central defender, for 68 million euros plus add-ons. And then Nicolas Otamendi would go the other way to Benfica. But we were saying last year they needed central defenders. Hat-trick for Jamie Vardy. Manchester United 3-2, late penalty. Brighton, a crazy chain of events in this game. Brighton's press made it difficult for United, the part that I watched. They hit post and crossbars 5 times, Brighton. And there's a lot of talk, is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer the man to take them forward, who cited structural issues. Central midfield still a struggle to get sorted out, I think. Paul Pogba and Matic got the start. Pogba had the lowest pass completion of any United player in this. Donny van Beek would come off the bench, and Ole would say, our shape is not there. We are not sharp enough to get out to crosses or follow runs. Sounds like not a lot was going right in that game, and still they found a way to win. Atletico Madrid, 6-1 over Granada. That will not be a part of our Lustau Vermouth update, but we will have a great segment coming up with Brett Essler, one of the top Zagat-rated bartenders in the country, and he's in Austin. Diego Costa says, it's great. One bites, one kicks. When talking about Luis Suarez, who scored twice and assisted on one in 21 minutes after moving from Barcelona. Speaking of Barcelona, they get a win. 4-0 over Villarreal. Villarreal did not look good. Ansu Fati, the 17-year-old, looked great. Had 2 goals. Messi, a penalty kick. Torres' own goal. So Ronald Koeman gets the win. The soap opera is going to continue. We're going to see how this team progresses in the future. And is this the year for Ansu Fati to really, really break out? Now, they gave debuts to Pedri, who's also a 17-year-old, and Francisco Trinicao, a 20-year-old. So time's going to tell there. It may force them to use a lot of these younger players based on their financial struggles. Hard to believe a team that under Guardiola, it seems like it was yesterday, defined the game worldwide, and now has all kinds of financial troubles. What's the relationship with Koeman and Messi like? 14 trophies under Guardiola in 3 years. Unbelievable. Italian Serie A, Juventus 2-2 with Roma. I don't know if you watched that. Roma blew a real opportunity to take the 3 points. Veretout had 2 goals. Cristiano had 2. And by the way, in attendance was the new owner, Dan Friedkin, from Friedkin Investors in Gulf States Toyota. He's from Houston. $700 million to buy Roma. All right, had a chance to catch up with the great bartender Brett Essler talking about Lustau Vermouth and cocktails. Brett Essler joins us now. Brett, thanks for coming on the show as usual. I'm excited about the cocktails you have. Let's start off with one you call Close Quarters.
For sure. It's good to be back. Thank you for having me. You know, being mid-September, kind of approaching fall and all that stuff, I think it's a great drink for those that are kind of still holding on to summertime. This is something that's light, refreshing, crisp, and bright. You only need 5 ingredients. They're all pretty basic, some that you'll have at home, you know, simple syrup, stuff like that. The close quarters, though, is going to be basically a split base. So your typical shot is 1.5 ounces. We're going to split that in half to 0.75 ounces each of Lustau Fino Sherry. It's just going to be a fortified wine out of Spain. Very dry and light. And then we're going to have 0.75 ounces of the Lustau Vermouth Blanc, which we've touched on the show. Going to add 0.75 ounces of lime juice and 0.5 ounces of simple syrup. We're going to go ahead, we're going to shake that up, get it properly diluted, and we're going to strain that into a coupe glass. And then to kind of garnish that and finish it off, we're going to do 0.25 ounces of Aperol. If you can pour that over the back of a spoon into the cocktail, and it'll kind of sink to the bottom of the glass. You'll have this bright red at the bottom of the glass that'll kind of fade into that green daiquiri. And we'll go ahead and throw a sage leaf on top just as a garnish, kind of tie it all in. Super refreshing, very crushable. And again, one of those drinks that's going to be low ABV. And what we mean by that is just low alcohol by volume. So you can enjoy more of them and not be too mad at yourself the next morning. So
tell you one thing about that. It's actually making me think about going out and getting all these ingredients because I don't want the summer to end yet. Fino Sherry, is there any replacement for that at home for people that you can?
Absolutely. So if you don't happen to have a Fino Sherry lying around, you can definitely get after like a Chardonnay, maybe a Sauv Blanc, any sort of dry white wine. And, you know, if you're feeling a little spicy and you want to fortify that, you can always throw in any sort of white liquor, whether it's gin, rum, tequila, vodka. That'll all work.
Brett, this sounds awesome. All right, let's go into the next one, which these are kind of appropriate based on the times right now. Let's go to, because we love La Liga too in Spain, let's go to the cocktail called Stuck in Spain.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is going to be, you know, again, one of those drinks you can drink all year round, but fall, winter time is also a really good time for it just because some of the stuff that's in it. So we're going to start with 1.5 ounces of the Lustau Vermouth Rojo, you know, just something a little more appropriate for the fall and winter time, a little bit heavier, a little bit richer. We're going to add 0.75 ounces of Orgeat, which is just an almond syrup. It's found in a lot of coffee shops. You can find it at any local liquor store. And we're going to add 0.75 ounces of fresh lemon juice to that. Same thing, we're going to go ahead, shake that up, get it properly diluted, strain it into a coupe glass. We'll go ahead and express some lemon oil over that. And by that, we just mean, you know, getting a lemon peel and just squeezing those oils out, discard the peel. And then we'll pop a little star anise pod in there just to add a little another fall element. And again, it's just very refreshing and citrusy and all of that stuff. And that's going to be your Stuck in Spain featuring the Lustau.
I love the star anise as the garnish. That's awesome. And yeah, you know
it looks
what?
Good.
I know you're encouraging, but Lustau is so good for, you know, coming up and being creative with cocktails and drink. It's amazing what you come up with each time. Now, one thing that jumped out to me, Orgeat, is there a replacement for that?
Yeah, so if you don't happen to have anything at the house or you're not able to make it over to the store, you might happen to have a bottle of Amaretto sitting in a cupboard somewhere. That's a definite replacement for that, too, that you could get after, and it should be able to work just fine.
Well, Brett, as always, thank you so much for coming on. These are great cocktails. Get to work on the next two.
Thank you,
Glenn.
We're going
to get you back on the show, but your expertise is amazing, and thank you for giving me some ideas for the weekend.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
So I thank Brett Essler. Great cocktails. This guy's very, very sharp. And it's all done with Lustau Vermouth, which is a really, really refreshing vermouth that goes great in gin and tonics, but you can do all kinds of different things like Brett just told you there with those cocktails. All right, just back to that Serie A, Juventus 2-2 with Roma. Yeah, it was pretty interesting because the game was at Juventus, and they pan in the crowd, and there's the American owners, Dan Friedkin and his son, who are the owners of Roma. It's pretty incredible. So Roma blew a real opportunity in this game. They were up 2-0 in the actually it went 1-1. 2-1 at the end of the half. Cristiano Ronaldo hit a penalty to make it 1-1. But Roma had chances. They should have gotten a third. And then they failed to ice this game down after having Rabiot sent off in the 62nd minute. Ronaldo, 69th, rises, and I mean suspends himself in the air. It's like the hang time was like 3-4 seconds, which is a lot. He hangs in the air for an eternity. He directs his header into the side netting. And it's 2-2. Weston McKennie, who's on loan from Schalke, started for Juventus. He went 58 minutes. He got pulled out for a more attack-oriented midfielder, Artur, at the time Juventus was down 2-1. One note, Juventus looked definitely very, very hittable on the counterattack, which makes you think about the new coach, Andrea Pirlo. So that was an interesting one. Today, it was Liverpool, 3-1 winners over Arsenal. Finally figured out the Peacock Premier thing, so in time for the second half. So I did catch the second half of that game. It was fascinating. I mean, you got two teams that are playing out of their penalty area. You know, they put two guys next to their goalkeeper, and, you know, they're not knocking it long. They refuse to knock it long, and they play it out. It's a possession-based game. It's obviously all influenced by Barcelona and Pep Guardiola when it comes to Arsenal, Klopp as well. And it's just fantastic. It's just so different. It's so much more interesting because it's so living on the edge. It's so living on the edge playing out of the back like that. And they refuse to just knock it long, which is incredible. All right, Texas women go to 1-2 under Angela Kelly. They beat Oklahoma 1-0. Presley Eccles, assisted by Haley Berg in the 63rd. Three saves for Savannah Madden in goal, getting the shutout. Relief for them to get that first goal of the year, their first win of the year. Let's hope this leads to more. Next up for the Longhorns, they head on the road. They'll go to WVU. WVU's got two wins and a draw in three games. Remember, Texas is playing just a nine-game Big 12 schedule. So they're heading to Morgantown. Haley Berg and Julia Grosso, the Canadian international. Julia Grosso, phenomenal player. Only one shot on goal each for those two. So that's something that certainly will have to change for them. But if you get the opportunity, get out to Mike A. Meyer Stadium. I know a lot of the Austin FC supporters were out there. That was wonderful crossover stuff. I don't think you see that happening in every city. All right, we'll take a break here. This show is presented, as always, by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. Car accident, motorcycle, bike, drive an 18-wheeler, you name it. John and his firm, they're personal injury attorneys. They will take care of you. DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. Dario Sala of River Plate, the former goalkeeper there in FC Dallas, up next. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. Now, I know a lot of you have been checking out the Copa Libertadores with Rodney Redis and Cecilio Dominguez playing with Club Guarani. Our next guest, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710, has played in a couple Libertadores, was a goalkeeper for famed River Plate, also played in Major League Soccer for FC Dallas. He is Dario Sala. He joins us now. So people still come up to me from an interview we did prior where you had spoken about a car battery came out of the crowd and landed near the goal when you were in goal in the Copa Libertadores.
Well, that's one of the little items that they throw me in Copa Libertadores. In Chile was a bottle of wine, Chilean wine. Jeez. Good wine. So we probably drink it after all.
Oh, man. So Copa Libertadores is
crazy.
Yeah, it's back in full swing now. You know, I like it because there is some element of off the rails. You know, it's a little bit crazier than, you know, the UEFA Champions League. Tell me some of your experiences about playing in it and just, you know, what it means to South Americans.
Well, basically, the rivalry goes to the level of the nationality. I know in Europe, it's not when Real Madrid play Bayern Munich, it's not about Germans playing Spaniards. But in South America, it's kind of, I think, it goes to the level of that, to the country level, especially Argentina, Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay. Well, now the rivalry goes to Argentina, Chile, because they beat us in the Copa America twice. So they take all the country element, all the country competition into the club competition. So that make it very passionate and interest to see. For us as a player, it's extreme. Every time you play in Copa Libertadores, it's representing your country. So it's not just your club. So it's pretty a good amount of pressure. And the night before, when you go and play away, it's not easy to take because there are 500,000 people outside the hotel making noises, fireworks, so they don't let you sleep very well. So you got to take a pill, you got to call the doctor. Say, I need to sleep because the noise is outside. Even the people who work in the hotel is very big fan of the club, of the city, and they're very local, so we bring our own chef, no kidding. our own chef, go to the kitchen, do our food, because there are several cases of poison, food poison, or tea with a special herb that it goes to the doping, anti-doping. Some players get penalized with anti-doping rules because the tea that they were drinking in the hotel. So it goes to off the field stuff that you can even imagine.
We're talking to Dario Sala. Remember, he was on Tata Martino's staff at Atlanta United when they won the MLS Cup. He was down in Colo-Colo with Chile as a coach as well. You know, he's had a storied career. He's played in South America. We know him from FC Dallas and in Major League Soccer. Dario, you have seen this league changing now. You have seen the amount of young South American players that are coming into this league. How different is it now for you, having played in it?
Well, it's very different, and it's very competitive. It's been growing in the right way, in the right direction. We have to give some credit to the league in the term of how to make this grow, make the club grow, make the cities get involved. Because when I came in 2005, remember, Glenn, it was more of the problem was how to get our soccer fans to get identified with the club level. They were picking up on the passion level, watching the World Cup and get behind the U.S. team, the U.S. men national team. And the problem at the time was to have those fans that they were following soccer around the country and they were very passionate in the World Cup time, how to get those fans to be a club-level fan. I think they did a pretty good job. Atlanta United is a clear example. Seattle Sounders, Portland, those teams, I think they follow the rules of marketing and how to market their teams, their brand. Associated with the whole community. I think that's the key, how the involvement with the soccer team and the community is, because you have to show the fans that you're authentic as a club. It's not like, I want you to be a season ticket holder, but we don't do much for you as a community. I think that was key in the marketing plan of MLS, how teams execute those marketing points to get the team where they're supposed to be. In terms of on the field, I think MLS did some variation of the rules because, you know, MLS put every year new rules. And the direction of those rules is incentivizing or promoting bringing young players. It was in the beginning when I came in 2005 to, through 2010. It was bringing a marquee player that will be a recognized name around the world, Beckham, Titi Henry, and I can go on and on about the list of the great players that they came, big star around the world, and that they did amazing for our league to grow. But now, okay, we already have the recognition from the local fans as a club, as an MLS. We have the TV deals that we wanted to have. MLS get those TV deals that they were aiming, bringing those fantastic big stars in soccer. And they were changing the rule on the designated player. I think it was really great to hit the salary cap and less amount of money if you bring a designated player under 23 or if you bring a designated player under 20-year-old. And that encouraged the scouting that the club needs to do to bring the best player for the best price, but with the best projection, because MLS was is historically a league that doesn't sell players. So it's problematic because as a league, you want to be able to sell players and put those players in the best stage, showcase them, and then come back and play for the national team. So I think when we came with Tata Martino to MLS, one of the things I told Tata, because I was always consult with Tata about what kind of player will work in MLS or what kind of player can be really successful in MLS. And I take a little credit, you know, I'm kind of low profile on taking any credit, but I take a little credit on giving him some point about what kind of player can work, because it's a fast-paced league that nobody around the world, or probably the players and agents and coaches that they come to the league think, okay, it's not as fast-paced as other league. No, it is. It's as competitive as other league. The level of the player is amazing at this point. Extremely competitive. And the good thing is the money or the wallet is not going to take you anywhere. It's not going to make you win a championship like it sometimes it does around the world, mm-hmm. Juventus or Real Madrid or Barcelona, Manchester City or Bayern Munich. And that show, for example, Inter Miami, they spend $100 million in transfer fees, and it doesn't seem that Columbus Crew with 10% of the budget that Inter Miami and Paul McDonald spend over there, they're running to win the league, and Inter Miami is probably in the last places. So that showed the scouting and the work that you got to put into and bring a great head coach and bring a great director of the youth and bring a great technical director, that helped immensely with that task.
We're talking to Dario Sala. So on that note, Dario, Lucas Zelarayán obviously playing very, very well for the Columbus Crew, who you mentioned, 4 goals, 3 assists from Argentina. You got Pulido. You got Requarte in Dallas. We just saw Emmanuel Reynoso from Boca Juniors down here in Houston. I mean, we can go on and on with the names here. Of young South American talent and Mexican talent and Central American talent, you are involved in this now. I mean, you obviously have a tremendous understanding of the league, but you now have a company where you are now beginning to represent players. Tell me a little bit about that, because I find that interesting after you come from coaching now.
Yeah, I tell you about Agrinsonis. Agrinsonis Sport is a great team, led by Alan Carson. An entrepreneur from Atlanta. He's a great guy. He's a great person who is very successful in business, great family, and especially the values that he want to put into the agency. So I get in business with him because the relationship that we have as a person first, and then we're really, really good friends. Actually, it's one of the things that when I come back to Atlanta to our office, and I always mention that I miss Alan as a person. And the relationship that we create that. But taking it to the business side, we put those values into the what it was in my career to have an agent, and the relationship that you got to have with an agent, not only representing you or trying to get the best deal possible from a team, it's just to the personal level as a really caring of their life off the field most important, and their family and their values. And I think that we're doing a great job because we have a clientele of 45, 50 players right now. Tito Villalba is one of them, who was coached by me in Atlanta United. And Tito, when I come back to MLS, we have some team interest in MLS. He's a clear example. He got injured the other day against Boca Juniors playing Libertadores. And we have the special attention, bringing the best doctor possible in Paraguay for him, and going to see and see Tito in his home. So that's the kind of relationship that you want to have with your players. In terms of MLS and a scouting group that we have, we're trying to build relationship with technical director, head coaches, general managers, and the league, bringing some knowledge about what the South American culture is. They're doing a great job on their own in the scouting department. But I think our agency can help team and MLS to bring the best player for the right price and with the best projection. We're totally into the same philosophy of bringing the young talent in before they go to Europe and use MLS as a platform, as a showcase of their talent, like the case of Almiron, Martinez in Atlanta, Petey Martinez, that he recently was sold by Atlanta United in 19, 20 million. They sold Almiron in 25 million to Newcastle. And those are the types of players that MLS needs to bring right now, make the excitement of the fans at the level that they deserve, and also bringing a player who is going to be a projection and be sold or be bought by Premier League, La Liga, or Bundesliga. I think this is the right direction. Our agency, Arizona, is totally in tune with that. We have a great team. We have an office in South America in Buenos Aires with Patricio Lombija. We have an office in Atlanta with Masu, who's an agent well-known for many, many years in the U.S. So I think we can help MLS to keep bringing the best players with Arizona.
Dario, as always, thank you for coming on. I'm excited about your new project. I mean, every time I watch Copa Libertadores, I have it on a monitor here from the home studio. And, you know, it's just amazing to look at the talent that's on all these teams. And sometimes some teams that are not as well known, quite frankly, there's just some unreal talents out there. So thank you, as always, for coming on. I wish you best of luck with that. And again, we never forget here in Houston when you drove all the way from Dallas to be a part of the Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic. Thank you for that, too.
I will do it again. You just need to call me, and I will be there.
All right. Dario, you're the best. Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thank you. I see you. Bye-bye.
All right. So I thought that would be a very interesting interview, especially because of the changing ways of Major League Soccer and the fact that now this is a buying and selling league. We mentioned in there a lot of the young talent that keeps coming to the league, just like Austin FC signings in Rodney Redis and Cecilio Dominguez. So very appropriate, interesting stuff there, and really looking forward to seeing Rodney Redis and Cecilio Dominguez after they finish up with Club Guarani playing in Major League Soccer, and I know you're excited about that as well. Mexico is going to play on September 30th against Guatemala. Originally, it was Costa Rica. They pulled out due to COVID. That game will be at Azteca in Mexico City. We are going to take a break. We're going to switch over to the USL Championship. When I come back, Alan Marcina of the first place San Antonio FC will join us. All brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com.
Maitland-Niles into the area. Oh, the cross is broken here for Lacazette. And he gives Arsenal the lead. The flag stays down because it came off Andy Robertson. The advantage is being played. Mohamed Salah. Saved by Leno and a simple tap in. And Liverpool are level. Sadio Mane again. Cross goes in. Back post is Andy Robertson. Can he make amends for the mistake a little earlier? Yes, he can. A mistake at one end for the opener for Arsenal for Andy Robertson. But he's on the score sheet at the other. Alexander-Arnold. It's a lovely teasing ball. And the shot comes in and the goal. Got it. Diogo Jota has had his chances since coming onto the field, and he chucked it away beautifully inside Leno's right-hand post.
Liverpool 3-1 winners today over Arsenal. Finally, you figured the Peacock Premier thing out and got to catch the second half of that. But right now, we're going to switch our attention, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710, to the USL Championship. And San Antonio FC has been plowing through their group in group play. We bring on their coach now, Alan Marcina. Alan, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight.
Nah, thank you for having me.
Well, let's first talk about the level of consistency that you've achieved with San Antonio FC. In very trying times here with COVID and all the other things going on, I would imagine it's doubly difficult to produce a level of consistency.
Definitely. I think that's just the overall commitment from all the people we have here, and that's from our front office, from our leadership group, from the players, technical staff, medical staff. It's been the total buy-in to the culture we have collectively created. We're a collection of people that don't believe in making any excuses, constantly seeking and implementing solutions, and so far, things have been going according to plan.
It's been a fantastic season for you. You've had a playing career that's taken you many, many places. You've had a coaching career that's taken you many places. How has that kind of shaped your ideas as a coach? Because I'm sure you've been influenced. And maybe who's the coach that influenced you most, Alan?
Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer of your experiences. Shape your ideas, concepts, and philosophy. I wouldn't say there's ever been, say, one coach through my playing days and even my coaching days. I was fortunate to learn, through many, many great tacticians, many great culture leaders. I've taken things I've liked, things that I believe in, and the collective experiences have shaped, my current beliefs and philosophy as a coach.
So you're coming off a rare 1-0 loss at Tulsa. They kind of are your real rivals, I would say, in your group, right? Mm-hmm. You created a ton of chances in that. You didn't take them. I saw some of your quotes post-match. Is that a concern at this point of the year heading into the playoffs? I know you got one more game against Austin.
Yes. First and foremost, Tulsa and Austin both competing for that final playoff spot in our group. Both very, very good teams. I do believe from day one of preseason, all our games and training session now in season have all been preparation, as also learning opportunities. And this was no different. We learned some things that we continue to do well and things that we need to improve on. And we're at the point in the season now, it's about execution of details, which is obviously the most challenging piece, but we believe we've been prepared to begin to execute those details when they matter most come playoff time.
Alan, outside of taking your chances in that game, and for, on the record, I didn't get to see that one. I have watched a lot of your games this year, though. What are some of those details that you want tightened up before you have to reboot players and go into the playoffs?
Yeah, one of the, big pieces of our identity, and one of our trademark standards we have here is that we're the aggressors with and without the ball. Without the ball is our pressing actions. We are a team that do this man-to-man pressing, and when it's broken, are repressing. And then when we're in possession, lose possession, counter-pressing. So a lot of pressing going on, and those individual details become our 1v1 defending. And making sure we have a high execution rate there. And then when we're with the ball is, just connecting our simple passes to be able to create rhythm, to be able to move the opponent, to then penetrate gaps, to create opportunities. So those are just a couple of the fine details, as well as, taking advantage of set pieces. We're a team that create a lot of opportunities off set pieces, and the details are, the quality of our service and then the commitment of our runs. And all those details add up and have an influence on the outcome. So if we're able to take care of those details, we feel pretty good that we can make a good run in playoffs.
So I'm going to lead you, Alan, and we're talking to Alan Marcina. He is the coach of San Antonio FC. I'm going to lead you to Jose Gallegos. I think he's 18 or 19. It's been very impressive. Just turned 19. Very impressive. One of your players out of your academy. Speak to me a little about him and what he symbolizes for your club, because you have made real headway when it comes to player development.
Yeah, we firmly believe that we have one of the best academy programs in the country, and that's spearheaded by Nick Evans. Nick Evans and the staff are doing a fantastic job of preparing players for the first team, and the players who do come into the first team environment have earned those opportunities. And Jose is a great example. Nothing is given to any of these players. They've earned these opportunities. Jose has fought really hard, incredibly talented, incredibly humble, has so many personality traits we seek in our players. And he's demonstrated, his ability on the field day in, day out. And we're just incredibly proud of Jose. And he's got a big, big future ahead of him.
How far does that future stretch, honestly? I mean, is this a kid that could ultimately go other places? And is this a part of the future of potentially buying and selling players with San Antonio FC? Because we see that in Major League Soccer. I don't see why it would be any different with you guys, obviously, to take profit on players, buy, sell, move.
100%. Jose definitely has the potential to reach the highest level of this game. We honestly feel that. He's in this process right now of gaining professional experience. He's demonstrating that he can already dominate at this level. And Jose is still progressing as a player. And he's got a tremendous amount of potential. He keeps getting better day after day. He's got the right mindset. And we are very, very confident that Jose will progress beyond USL, and we are hopeful that that means a career in either the MLS or Europe. And at that point, as a club, we'll start to discuss with other clubs, because there is a tremendous amount of interest for Jose, and it has to make sense for all parties.
Alan, last one before I let you go, and I want to thank you very much for coming on. I've been hoping to get you on the program. And by the way, San Antonio on 33 points. Austin is next on 19. That is their next game. So they've run away with it in Group D. Last one I would just say is, and I think this one is of interest to everybody, is San Antonio FC still holding out the possibility of one day playing in Major League Soccer, or is that a foregone conclusion?
I wish I knew, the answer in there. And right now, for myself, for the team, for the club, where all our focus is on USL Championship, creating a culture that allows for superior and sustainable results. We want to be nationally recognized as the leaders at this level in both youth development and at the professional level. And if the future, means it's USL Championship or being the MLS, the higher ups will decide that.
Alan, thank you so much for coming on the program. We appreciate it, and best of luck against the Austin Bold and in the playoffs.
No, thank you so much for having me on, and on behalf of SAFC, thank you for providing this platform to share a little bit about us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alan. That's Alan Marcina, San Antonio FC coach, doing a great job. Has had an extensive coaching career and playing career. That'll do it for us tonight here. A big thank you, Sam Pika and company. Appreciate all the support there. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook, Soccer Matters. To our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. Also, the Lou Style Vermouth. Hit me up on Twitter. Thanks for tuning in tonight, Austin.